I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, can do.
This is Bill Duncliffe, following up on our wage theft podcast series. Knowing that acknowledgement of this issue on the backstretch, as well as the steps to bring about a fair resolution, are an ongoing process, I reconnected with Gilberto Mendoza, who works in the television production department of NYRA and is the lead union organizer for IBEW Local 1430, and Paul Ruchames, former director of the Backstretch Employee Services Team of New York. I also spoke with Jordan Heljaj, attorney for IBEW Local 1430, who, with Gilberto Mendoza, is leading the charge for further recognition of workers' rights on the backstretch in New York. What I learned very quickly is that the efforts underway to secure union recognition have achieved some significant successes, with the list of trainer barns having been certified by the Public Employee Relations Board, or PERB. Recognizing union status contains significant, recognizable names, with likely more to come as the effort continues.
So you've got 14 trainers on the unionization side. You've got 14 that are certified. And what did you say? There's another 40-something that are awaiting certification. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Like I have a lot of petitions in and just waiting to be certified. And, you know, who's playing games with the list and who's putting, like, statements to argue it to. I got more than 51% of each and one of them. So... it is what okay. It is. It's just a waiting game right now.
But the effort is not stopping there. It's being taken to another level. As we discuss this issue and the current status, as well as future plans and the various conversations presented here, I have to implore the listener to keep in mind a couple of comments from previous podcast interviews with Gordon Boyd, a Saratoga resident who has served the New York State Assembly in multiple roles, and trainer Tom Morley.
The thing that, and I've been in this community, Saratoga Springs, for, you know, going on 54 years. And I think that the track impresses people as a great place where people enjoy themselves, have a good time, something unique in the American entertainment landscape. But it's kind of a 19th century business model.
At the end of the day, I always say to people who want to understand what we're doing with them, we are asking them to be NFL, NBA standard athletes. We have chiropractors, we have physical therapists, we have podiatrists, we have nutritionists. These horses are cared for to the very, very highest level in every aspect of their upbringing that we possibly can, to try and ensure that they can put on the best performances in the afternoon as possible. And that includes the level of and quality of staff who look after them on a day-to-day basis. But of course, a pigeon flying out of a pile of hay can spook one of these animals very quickly. And at the end of the day, a 120-pound person trying to control a 1,200-pound animal, you know, there is an inherent danger involved as well. So you have to be a skilled person when it comes to this. You couldn't just throw anybody into a job on the backside with these phenomenal equine athletes. I'm a huge believer in that it is not a job. It's a lifestyle. Because there are no 30 days paid holiday a year, et cetera, et cetera. We're very mindful of allowing our members of staff to take time off when they want. Many of them have families. Many of them have young children. Many of them are working a long way from home.
Jordan Heljaj made a valuable point as well regarding not only the responsibility of employee unions, but also the at times general perception of the greater public regarding unions, which is why Paul Ruchames' comment is so appropriate.
You know, if you're a hardcore unionist, right, you continue to push up, right? Like, they don't care. The hardcore trade unionists, of which I am not, I think there's a balance to everything, but in theory, right, like the employees are supposed to push the envelope for as much as they can get, right? And I laugh, you know, because when people talk about the American auto workers and they're like, oh my God, these, you know, pensions, they're just destroying these companies. And, you know, the other foreign countries, they don't have these pensions and these crazy working conditions. And you're like, yeah, but you do realize that the business owners, who are highly sophisticated, agreed to pay those things. That's the union doing its job.
it's really part of the democratic promise of what America is about. It's about, America is about addressing power differentials between groups of people. You know, many of our structures politically and governmentally. And this is a very American thing to be doing. And I would say as an un-American thing to have what's going on presently to the extent it is going on. It's going to be, I think, a difficult battle to get it in place. And there'll be a lot of negativity thrown out into cyberspace about it. But ultimately, it is the right thing. And I think people will then adjust to that. And 5 years from now, it'll just be not even thought about. It'll just be part of the fact.
Yeah. Remember when. Yeah.
So what are those future plans mentioned previously? There obviously will be continued efforts to secure unionization to address what I would call the base level issues of fair pay, but the union additionally is pursuing what may sound like, but is actually not, a novel concept. That concept being that the New York Racing Association, NYRA, and the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, NYTHA, collectively act as a joint employer for the backstretch workers, a judgment which would impose additional obligations on those bodies, as well as open the opportunity for additional benefits for backstretch workers. Benefits which most of us, candidly, take for granted.
You know, wage theft are just being paid properly in accordance with the law, which really just comes down to, are you making minimum wage and are you getting overtime for working over the 40 hours in a work week and not having unlawful deductions, right? Mm-hmm. That's just like one small aspect of what, you know, an overall union campaign is designed to do. We want to get them the maximum compensation possible, protections from unlawful termination or just termination without cause, put some processes in place, make sure the workplace is safe. So it's like the whole comprehensive terms and conditions of employment. So part of that is how are they going to retire, right? Do they have a benefit? Do they get hurt? Do they have medical insurance?
Yes.
And so, you know, when we're trying to define, like, who do these employees work for, really, you could say that it's the trainers, like, that directly employ them, but it does seem to us that NYRA exercises quite a large degree of control. It's actually more common in now, I mean, I know of active ones, like, so if you look at the Hotel Trades Council in New York City, or many of the buildings that are represented by 32BJ of the SEIU, they have a single contract and it binds every employer to like the standardized working conditions. And
okay.
So I mean, that's not under PERB, that's under the National Labor Relations Act, but the laws are very similar.
Yeah. You
know, the term employers traditionally thought of as the normal, okay, I come in, your establishment, I do that work. But if you look at situations where there's like a temp agency or a staffing agency, and, you know, you work for me as a staffing agency, but I put my employee to work in your facility, like you're still, we're both employing that person. And depending on like who's doing what, both could be subject to lawsuits for, you know, sexual harassment or not being paid correctly. Like both are responsible in that circumstance. So it's just a concept that's not thought of. You know, most people just don't think about that in this context. So we're trying to get them, NYTHA, NYRA, and the trainers as like one big group and joint employer. We'd like to try to standardize all the working conditions for the backstretch. And one of the challenges is without NYRA's deep pockets, the trainers, I don't think they'd really make that much. So getting good medical insurance is not that, not that easy. We would have to be legally certified by PERB and, you know, and finding that NYRA and NYTHA are in fact joint employers with the trainers. You know, one of the ironic things is that the trainers have NYTHA. So it's like the trainers have their own union. And the purpose of that is to, you know, collectively deal with issues with the backstretch, but they don't want to acknowledge that they're they're exercising this level of control and that they're trying to stymie their employees from doing the same thing that they are doing for themselves.
Oh, interesting. So, interesting. Oh, because NYRA negotiates with NYFA for anything that they want to do associated with the trainers, I guess is what you're saying, correct?
Yeah. So the horse trainers will, you know, negotiate with NYRA and then they jointly will talk about like conditions of, because NYRA provides all that housing and all these things. So it's like, you know, they're collectively acting, but they don't want to say that they're involved.
I'm pretty sure that we should be okay, right? Because there was a couple of cases prior with a group similar to this, and they won that case. So I'm hoping that we're going to win that case also and have them in negotiations where we negotiated, when we negotiated with trainers. So like that, the trainers, right? Because if you stop and you look at it, the trainer is just another victim, right? Because if you only want to pay them, right? What happened when you only want to pay them? They cannot pay the guys. So it's the same way. Like at some point in time, there's going to be, you know, a joint employer, right, between the NYRA and the trainers. I don't know how PERP is going to handle it, right, because I'm pretty sure PERP is going to discuss the prior cases and kind of, you know, try to make sense to NYRA that they are of involved employers, that they are, like, interacting with them because they're the one that authorized the rooms and everything else. They're the ones that, you know, control everything inside the track.
Jordan El-Hajj also observed that the process of going through the Public Employee Relations Board to forge the new contract structure envisioned would be a time-consuming, likely years-long process, which is why he and the union are considering an approach that would most certainly get the attention of the powers that be.
I think if we are relying on the legal system being PERB and the appeal process, and, you know, I think that it's potentially going to take years. Me personally, and what I'm thinking to do and analyzing right now, I think the only real way to get this thing done is to have a huge work stoppage during Saratoga. And I think that if racing stops at Saratoga, I think there's going to be so much money at stake for NYRA and political pressure. They're going to have to make a real decision on, you know, if they really want to keep treating these people this way. One of the problems, and this, again, I think now goes to culture, changes more to that individualistic mindset of, you know, America in general, right? Like, work stoppages, like, there was a time when people just fought for what they felt were better working conditions, and that was okay. And, you know, it didn't mean like, okay, like, well, hey, you're making minimum wage. That's what the law is. You should accept that. And if you don't like that, then go somewhere else. But back in the day, the people were like, yeah, but like, we're more valuable to this organization than you're paying us for. You know, like, you're making millions of dollars, right? You're getting all this subsidy from the government to do and continue this. And then you're just paying us the minimum. You're not looking out to make sure things are totally safe. And I feel like things have turned, like, the mindset now of people, like, oh, unless it's like you're showing us a sweatshop, you know, like that people are just dying left and right, you don't have a right to stand up and fight for more. And that's just, I don't know how much support you're going to have one way or the other, but I think the fact that, hey, if you want to see the horses race and have a good time, then what's that worth to you, you know, at the end of the day? Like, these people are not doing it because they want to ruin your day. They're doing it because there's rat infestations or they don't have medical care. They're getting kicked by horses and disabled and, you know, there's drug and alcohol problems. There's, you know, so, I mean, there's like a throwback to the Wild West there.
Regarding that last comment about the Wild West, think back to the comments highlighted earlier by Gordon Boyd and Tom Morley about the anachronistic employer-employee relationship that currently exists, and balance that with the heavier responsibilities and significant seals involved. The comparison to the Wild West is not an invalid one. It's important here to state as well a point I've made in previous podcasts regarding this issue that the efforts of the Backstretch Employee Service Team, the Belmont Child Care Association and Anna House, and the support of those institutions by NYRA and NYFA are not unnoticed or unappreciated. Of course, the possibility exists that support for those nonprofit organizations by NYRA and NYTHA could be imperiled. But as Jordan El-Hajj pointed out earlier, the possibility exists even without union representation. In addition, the negative public relations consequences for NYRA and NYTHA would, of course, be significant. Anyone who knows me and or has listened to my work over the years knows that I see to no fan greater love than that which I have for Saratoga. The racing, the atmosphere, the town. But in my heart, I feel that it likely will take a drastic action such as a work stoppage to ensure that the critical issues that the backstretch community demands be addressed are addressed, as is their right. It is, after all, an issue of fundamental fairness.
That kind of thing, it just has to change for the sake of the people, and I really think for the sake of the horses, too, because how effective could someone be at managing a horse and being alert to things and so on, and morale-wise, if they don't have any leave time, or if they feel, and we would see this during COVID, they would feel obligated to work, even when they were sick. It's something that it is costly to do that, for sure, but I think in the long-term interests of horse racing and just in what's right, it needs to be done, and I believe the money is there. The revenue is there to be able to afford it. And I think the racing public, at least the large share of it, would, if they knew about it more, would support it. And maybe most of all, there's the question of dignity, that often when I was at Best, one of the problems that would emerge would be people feeling just treated like, not all the time, and some of the trainers are incredible and benevolent, and NYRA employees too, but there were too many times where they were treated without respect as people. And they would come to us. Sometimes they knew there was no resolution, but just to get affirmed that you're a person deserving of certain rights, and that just as the horses are treated really well, you should also be treated well as a human. I know working at Best, when I talk to people who weren't part of the racing world, there'd always be this sort of taint that I get from people, or when it would be making attempts to raise funds, just this general sense still in the public, and NYRA and NYTHA have come a long way from the from decades ago, but there would be this taint, and why not make it so that it's just not there anymore? You know, we could all just be proud of it.
Our sport has already made tremendous strides in addressing the issue of equine safety. I can think of no other issue that can further light up racing than making sure that the humans who make our sport run every day are treated every bit as respectfully as our equine athletes. Thank you for listening. I welcome your feedback and appreciate your support. As I always like to say, may good health and happiness and gratitude for both, for you and your loved ones, be yours today and always.
I got the horse. Ride!